stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth, John Vecchione, and Janine Yunus with you as per usual. And today we are joined by a special guest, Senior Litigation Counsel Andrew Morris here at the New Civil Liberties Alliance. Andy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, so the reason that we've invited Andy is because he and our other Senior Litigation Counsel colleague, Peggy Little, have filed quite the lawsuit against the Securities and Exchange Commission over something called the Consolidated Audit Trail. And we've Peggy's been on the program before talking about the CAT, I think several months ago, but we didn't have a complaint at the time. We hadn't sort of specified what the particular concerns were. So maybe let's start there. Why this lawsuit, Andy? Why are we why is NCLA suing the SEC over the Consolidated Audit Trail?
Well, I think it is a big story. Thank you for having me. We filed it because this is, in fact, I think something new under the sun. It's in fact, John, you asked me in the green room what CAT stood for, and one of the genius moves here is it's a very boring, anodyne sort of name. Consolidated Audit Trail sounds like an accounting story that leads you to turn the page. In fact, it is, as I said, something really new, and that is it is for the first time, it is a real-time, full-scope database that the government has real-time access to of every trade made in any stock exchange in the United States. So it's a significant leap forward from...
One might say a great leap forward.
Well, that one's been used. We're hoping to avoid that sort of outcome there. That's why we're suing early, I hope.
Yes.
But you're right. That has been used with capital letters. And so for the first time, the government's in the surveillance business in the securities industry. And it's significant for two reasons. One, it's now the government can see what you invest right away, what everybody invests. And second is that an agency appointed itself to this position. Congress didn't do it. It hasn't been debated anywhere. The SEC just decided 35 years after the statute it cites was in place, they decided we'd like to just see everything in the entire stock market world, and we'd like to see it right away. So we don't think
we need Congress's permission to do that. Right. We're just going to do it all on our own.
Right. We're putting ourselves in the surveillance business. So we're going to sit down, you know, with a pen and a phone and just sit down and issue an order that says we now require all these stock exchanges. And it's a bit of a complex setup, but the fair summary is we, the SEC, have regulatory authority over the stock exchanges and what are called self-regulatory organizations, that whole industry. And they issued an order instructing all of these exchanges to put all this information daily into one single database, which the SEC now can use.
Well, let's put to one side what I think are massive concerns about the ability of that database to be hacked or abused, even if it's not hacked by personally identifiable information by a foreign adversary or something.
And that is a big problem.
Which is a big problem. There's got to be a massive temptation for the hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people who have access to this database to just take a quick peek at what Warren Buffett's doing or, you know, somebody else whose investment strategies they may be curious about for reasons that have nothing to do with enforcing the law and everything to do with maybe their own personal portfolios. And let's just put all that to one side. How is this not a massive violation of the Fourth Amendment?
We believe it is. It is. It's a seizure of personal information and without any due process whatsoever. There has been a longstanding set of procedural safeguards that apply in many places, but they've applied to the Securities and Exchange Commission since it was founded. that enable it to conduct investigations and get information, but they have to, a couple things have to happen first. They have to have a reason to investigate someone or investigate a stock with strange activity or a problem they see. And then they have to jump through certain hoops where they justify getting limited information that relates to an investigation.
And they tell you the reason. You get a Wells letter or something like that. Here, there's no explanation needed.
Or they have to get a subpoena. They have to articulate a basis, as we lawyers like to say.
Do you know what their justification is going to be or their rationale?
Yes, they published their justification, and it is a lot of laudable-sounding goals, such as being able to reconstruct market events and being able to conduct enforcement, and a lot of pretty generalized do-good kind of justifications. Now, but the way the law works, though, is that an agency has to have specific justification with Congress to do something this new. And this really is something new. This is putting yourself in this surveillance business, as I said, and getting direct contact. And Janine, that's a great question because it's a big change from where before they were limited, as other law enforcement bodies are, by legal safeguard, procedural safeguards, where they have to have a reason. They can't just look into your background. They, by issuing an order, they just bypass all of those procedural safeguards and said, you know what, we just want everything and we want it right away.
So because we trust change. Ourselves. We trust ourselves to do the right thing.
So we don't need. Claim that they can't trace they don't know which individual the data comes from? Or I've heard that justification in other cases, situations where they're collecting mass amounts of data.
They can get that information under current procedures that they've used since 1934. But their contention is that just takes too long, it's cumbersome, and they would like to perform market analyses and enforcement faster than they have. And in their releases that they release when they issue rules and they give the background, they discuss that in there. And again, it's pretty general statements about the world's changing, technology's fast, we think we need a better way to do this and look at it in one place. And what this does is it gives them the ability not only to have information right away, they now have put in place, obviously in the sophisticated age of data analysis, they just analyze this entire database where most investors are ordinary citizens investing for the future. And they just scour through the database looking for possible legal violations.
Right, because this doesn't just apply to institutional investors. This is your average John Q. Public, ordinary investor, including our clients, would fall in that category.
Yes, well over 100 million Americans who have money in the stock market for some reason or another, and every transaction they see. So over time, they'll know your data, they'll know your investment portfolio, what industries you invest in, what kind of causes you invest in, and to your point, Mark, then they will know. They'll be able to reconstruct and look and see. Want to focus on someone, they can just pull up that person's investment history.
And if we and people who use Robinhood or they're doing it on themselves, they can still look at that.
Yes, that still is captured.
And the we just had, I think many of our listeners will have seen, there was big debates over FISA and warrants and all this, and it was a huge deal. And Congress went all, and this has passed by almost unmentioned. Even though it's a huge violation. So what counts do you have? What is your legal theory?
This is one of these cases where it violates the law in so many ways that I would need another show to just walk through the ways it violates the law. But I put it in the two buckets. One is they violate the law they usurp a bunch of rights by the procedure, by the way they adopted it, and then it violates the Bill of Rights, the substance of it does. So the first one is, They didn't have authority from Congress. Agencies can't act without Congress permitting them to do things.
Are they just saying their organic statute gives them the permission to do this, or
like any good lawyer, when they don't have a great clear argument, they give you sort of this cloud of arguments, and then you have to pick off each one. So they cite a series of various statutes. The closest one is one that has to do with facilitating what's called a national market system, which was specifically passed in 1975 to interconnect the stock markets. And SEC never occurred to anyone that meant, oh, we could create a surveillance database. So in 2010, they popped up and said, oh, well, we like that statute. We're going to cite that statute. And so that that they're acting without authority, and then that steps on Congress's toes. Congress is in charge of legislation, not agencies.
But Congress must be funding this. I mean, they can't get their appropriations from someplace else, can they?
You stole my thunder on my last
night. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Which is that Congress didn't fund it, and the SEC did not drive up to Capitol Hill and ask Congress to fund it. Instead, SEC said, oh, we have authority over what I referred to, these self-regulatory organizations, these organizations in the securities industry that are answerable to the SEC. So the SEC issued a rule telling those organizations to fund it. So they're dunning their members, who ultimately are passing the cost to investors, and they've kind of outsourced the whole shebang rather than going up to Capitol Hill and asking for money. And that violates Congress's control over the purse, basically.
And how much money are we talking about here? So far.
It keeps increasing,
yeah.
And the numbers keep bouncing around, but it's several billion dollars a year. Mm. And so it exceeds, in fact, the SEC budget. It's safe to say that the best estimates from neutral parties exceed the agency's entire budget. And then I'll jump to the last half before I use up my time. And the second half is violations of the Bill of Rights. And then, as you indicated, the substance of it, even if Congress had done it, it would be a problem. Violates the Fourth Amendment because it seizes all of this information, and we're anticipating a fight over that issue. This personal information, people's papers are private, and violates the Fifth Amendment because they bypassed all of these processes. There's no due process. Your information has just gone to a government agency without a warrant or without a subpoena process or the other kind of screens that were in place that the SEC's bypassed. And finally, it's interesting, it's a First Amendment violation in our view, for the reasons, again, Mark, that you suggested, which is it lets this agency look at your decisions about your values and the ways you want to invest.
And I just should say this Davidson and Restivo and the National Center for Public Policy Research v. SEC, v. Gary Gensler and the SEC, and it's in the Western District,
Eastern District of Texas.
Western District of Texas.
Correct.
Okay. So look forward there.
Great. Thanks for having me.